and welcome to Mailbox. Thank you very much for all your reception reports and comments. More than a month after the death of the former President Václav Havel, we are still receiving letters of condolence from our listeners and readers from around the world. Michael Fanderis wrote from the United States.
We were saddened to hear of Václav Havel's death. I never read any of his works before, so recently we obtained the English versions of The Power of the Powerless, To the Castle and Back, and a very interesting video film, Citizen Václav Havel Goes on Vacation. We should all admire what the Charter 77 people did and went through. They should, especially now, meet and give talks to keep their efforts and ideas living on, to remind all people, not just Czechs and Slovaks, that our freedoms are vital.
Jayanta Chakrabarty wrote from India.
The Czech Republic and the world at large have become poorer in the sad demise of one of its most illustrious sons, Václav Havel. Not only was he a great champion of the oppressed, fighting for liberty and democracy, but also a harbinger of peace, seeking universal freedom from the shackles of tyranny and misrule. Being an author and playwright par excellence, he has proved to the world the invincible power of the freedom of speech and literature. Havel's essays and plays, mostly written underground during Czechoslovakia's dark days of communist rule, are the most incisive and eloquent analyses of the harm communism has done to the lives of individuals and society.
Vladimir Gudzenko follows Radio Prague in Russia.
Only a month ago, the great Czech politician, writer, former dissident and human rights fighter, Václav Havel, passed away. Sorry, I never had a chance to meet that great man, although Havel visited Russia several times and went to my favorite place in Russia's capital, the Andrei Sakharov Museum and Center.
Now, Stephen Hrabenich is our regular listener in Ohio.
I just wanted to comment on some of your recent programs. You have started the new year quite strong. I quite enjoyed today's panorama about Tvarushky. I have heard of this cheese before, and I must admit that I'm quite curious. I would like to visit the Czech Republic again someday, and when I do, I hope that I have the courage to try this specialty. This program reminded me of the return of magazine as a special at the end of 2011. I do miss that feature, and wish that it could return more frequently, perhaps as part of the rotation of monthly programs on Saturday, like Science Journal. I also like the spotlight about the Letná water tunnels. Is the ABC of Czech on your website? I searched for it, but I wasn't successful. I remembered the series, and it is nice to hear it again. Is it me, or does Pavla actually sound younger, which obviously she was? I suppose it happens to all of us, but it is just more apparent when comparing old recordings to present day, which most of us do not have the opportunity to do.
All Radio Prague's Czech language series can be found in our archive. The older the series, the further back you need to go, and the younger I will sound, I suppose. Now on to our monthly listeners' competition. Hans Werner Lollicke wrote from Denmark.
The name is Adolf Franz Karl Victor Maria Laws, or Adolf Laws, born in 1870 in Brno and died close to Vienna in 1933. He was born into a German-speaking family, had a turbulent life with three marriages, and as many men of genius, he was on the border of insanity.
Marie-Lou Krennick from Texas wrote,
Adolf Loos opposed Art Nouveau and Beaux-Arts historicism. As early as 1898, he announced his intention to avoid the use of unnecessary ornament. He wrote his famous essay, Ornament and Crime. His Steiner House in Vienna in 1910 has been referred to by some architectural historians as the first completely modern structure. His best-known large structure is the Goldman and Salach building in Vienna.
Charles Konecny from the United States wrote,
Laws knew what he wanted on the outside of the buildings he designed, and it wasn't much. He believed in simplicity, and as far as he was concerned, ornamentation on a structure was criminal because of the cost of labor and materials. So he wrote an essay called Ornament and Crime, where he went into some deep thinking to make his point. And even though he did stick to his no ornamentation theme, many of his buildings appeared to be rather handsome, sleek and stylish. His interiors, however, were not so austere. So while one can admire and be inspired by ornate structures, I guess it is good to have the Laws look in the mix. It makes me wonder what Adolf would think of the panel arcs.
Vladimir Gudzenko from Russia writes,
world-famous architect born in a German family near the Moravian town of Brno. His father was a stonemason and died when Adolf was 9 years old. Adolf Loos was also an essayist and a theorist of architecture. He published his own journal, and his architecture styles are considered as modernism and purism.
Colin Law from New Zealand.
Adolf attended schools in Brno until the age of 13, when he moved to the Benedictine school at Melk Abbey in southern Austria. At 17, he studied at the construction department of the technical school in Liberec, from where he graduated in 1889. In 1890, at the age of 20, he briefly joined the technical university in Dresden, but in the same year he entered 1 year of compulsory military service. In 1893, Adolf Loos went to the USA, where he initially earned a living by washing dishes and as a bricklayer and paver. His 3 years in the US greatly influenced his future career. He returned via Paris and London to Vienna, and he began working as an architect.
Jayanta Chakrabarti writes from India.
Introduced to the art of building at a tender age while working in his father's stone masonry shop in Brno, Adolf Loos rose to be one of the most outstanding pioneers of contemporary architecture. His radical, innovative outlook on life was reflected in his works, which were embodiments of austere beauty, then quite unknown outside Austria. His theories were incorporated in a short essay, Ornament and Crime, wherein he emphasized that excessive ornamentation was a crime and morally incorrect in the light of wastage of materials and economics of labor. Loos' experiment with the classical tradition, passion for all aspects of design, lifestyle and taste, are elaborated in his literary work, Spoken into the Void.
Thank you very much again for your well-researched answers. This time, our little prize goes to Vladimir Gudzenko from Russia. Congratulations, and your parcel will be posted first thing on Monday. Now I have a brand new question for those of you who would like to give it another shot this month. Regular listeners to Radio Prague are probably aware of the fact that the word robot is of Czech origin. This month, we'd like to know the name of the Czech author who first introduced it to the public, even though he did not coin the word himself. Please send us your answers by the end of February to english@radio.cz. This is also the address for your reception reports, comments and questions regarding our programs. Please keep them coming. Until next time, take care.